You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
And the Caps coming out from behind the net. 3:44 to go here in the second period. The Caps with a puck toward Christian Juice. Bounced up on him. If he'd gotten it at the blue line, there was nobody in front of him. Tampa pinching a little bit. Now the puck ahead to Burakovsky. Andre coming down the middle. A shot, he scores! Andre Burakovsky does it again! He got behind the defense, and he kept it low. 3:29 to go in the second, and you can see Nevada from here. It's 3-0 Washington!
Second hour of the four that we're spending with you today is underway. We're Grant and Danny, and you're listening to The Fan. We're giving you 12 chances a day to win $1,000, a 12K a day cash flash contest continuing. Your next opportunity, 12:02 in Pete Medhurst, top of the hour sports flash. Message and data rates may apply. The Capitals are headed to the Stanley Cup. Rob Carlin hosts pre and post shows on NBC Sports Washington, has all year long. Rob, this is not one of the more talented teams necessarily over the last several years for the Capitals, but it is the club that has gotten the farthest. Why this group, do you think?
Just a belief, man. They believe in each other. They're a tight-knit group. They're enjoying this immensely, as you'd imagine, and they don't want it to end. And all of that has just led up to this point that they have introduced Washington, D.C. to this brave new world of playing for a championship. And you know, it's an easy group to appreciate, not just enjoy, but appreciate, because, you know, more than anything, you want to see from a team a toughness, a mental toughness. We know Tom Wilson's tough. We know Ovi's tough. But a mental toughness has always been the concern with this franchise. And you could just appreciate that these guys, every time they're pressed and pushed, push back. And they just don't want this wild ride to end just yet, and it's not.
Well, in the games that they've won, Rob, back-to-back shootouts here. Shutouts, not a shootout. That'd be weird. Defensively, they've been so accountable. That's to me, is the biggest difference, is there, whether it's Ovi, whether it's Oshie blocking shots, everybody's doing whatever they can at all times. They're in the right spot. So the speed, which was always the thing that they couldn't account for against Pittsburgh, they couldn't handle in other series, has been negated. All these open ice rushes are gone. They're always in the right spot. And that kind of speaks to what you're talking about, but it's also an improvement or an adjustment. And I wouldn't have thought it was possible with this group, with guys like Orlov, with guys like Kempney. You had Carl Olsner, the stay-at-home defenseman that you developed, and yet they're better now defensively at this stage in the year, to me, than they've ever been.
Yeah, and you don't have any explanation for it, because it wasn't that way during the regular season as consistently as it is now. I mean, this team, and who knows what the reason is for that. It's sort of the chicken or the egg, right? I mean, do you start seeing success because you're playing the right way, or do you play the right way so you start seeing success? Who cares? This team figured it out. And, you know, it was never more evident than it was, I thought, in the last game. You know, you got DSP literally putting his head in the way. I mean, that caught him at the base of the neck, and he blocked a shot. Oshie, a few minutes after that, takes one on the inside of the calf, which there's not much padding there, and Ovi lifts the leg up to block a shot from the point. I think it was early in the third period. I mean, it's just all these guys willing to do whatever it takes. And how many times over the years did we see, whether it was the Rangers or Pittsburgh or whoever, blocking these shots, that so frustrated as a fan base, watching the Caps not even get enough shots on net to really ever feel like, man, they win this big game. And that's how it was against Pittsburgh, and that's how it was against Tampa, that these guys are just doing all those little things. And then what Alan points out, and this is what we don't necessarily appreciate, but when Alan points it out, the Burakovsky, his first goal, the second goal for the Caps the other night, that's a defensive play in the offensive zone to win that puck. It's just, you know, winning puck battles are defensive plays. And Burakovsky did that, and it leads to a goal. So just every little thing that the coaching staff is asking, they're accepting the challenge. And it's totally different than anything we've seen in the past. And the results are, here we are waiting for Stanley Cup game one.
Rob Carlin, NBC Sports Washington. Watch him pre and post in the Caps Road to the Cup shows. I was on one of them with him yesterday, sandwiched in between some college baseball. Rob, I've got an exceptionally unpopular opinion I want to bounce off you and get your reaction to.
Okay.
I think that the story about Vegas getting to the Cup, as amazing as it is slightly overrated, because I think they had it easier than any expansion team in the history of sports. They've got the best roster in the league, arguably. I mean, this is the equivalent of, I'm not saying we shouldn't be impressed that someone got a 5.0 GPA for the first time in school history, but I'm saying we should at least acknowledge that they were graded on a curve, because Vegas got a real nice break with how they were able to put their roster together. I'm happy for them. It's been an awesome season, but let's not pretend like they had it the same way the Capitals did 40 years ago. I'm tired of hearing about like how crazy this is. They don't have fourth liners. They don't have sixth defensemen. They've got a really good team.
I don't know if I agree with that. I mean, yes, the premise is absolutely right. They had it easier than any other expansion team in any sport in the history of sport. However, the guy that put it together, George McPhee, was expecting to use all those pieces, be it players or draft picks that he acquired, to make a run at the top overall pick for next year's draft. That was the grand scheme, was let's see how competitive we can be, but let's acquire as many nice players and high draft picks as we can, so when this inevitably goes south, and it will because we're an expansion team with no chemistry and, you know, we don't have a history of building towards this moment, we could use these pieces to try and get better for next year and better for the year after that. That was their plan. I mean, we had George McPhee on our Caps Extra podcast, I think it was around the All-Star break when he had some downtime, and basically that's what he said. No one saw this coming. So you could say it's the most talented expansion team that's ever been built. I don't know if it's the most talented team in the league. I mean, who's your superstar on that team other than Marc-Andre Fleury, who shouldn't be playing this well? He's been in the league too long to be playing this well. It's sort of like Ovi this year. No one expected this from Fleury. I mean, who's
well, they lack superstardom, but I think what they have in a league where this is important is four collections of lines with a bunch of really good players. Like, they may not have the great players, but they've got more really good players than everybody else.
Who expected William Karlsson to go from like a 9-goal scorer to like a 30 or 40-goal scorer? No one saw that. I mean, Marchessault is a good player in Florida, absolutely.
But it'd have been like plucking Verana off this team. 40's crazy, but I think a lot of people, if you'd have said he was going to score 28 or 30 goals, they'd have said, okay, yeah, he's really skilled. Like the second line with Neil and Perrin, or you go to like the third line with Alex Tuck. I just think their roster, it's a bunch of guys that – it's not like they have an Alex Chase on. They don't have guys that could be scratched any given night like most teams do.
Well, of course not, because they don't have the salary cap constraints. Like they didn't have Ovi to lock up to a long term deal. They didn't have Stamkos to lock up to a long term deal. It starts affecting your salary cap. So yes, they have a really good collection of players. Now give a lot of credit to their scouting people and their front office people who found all these pieces of a William Karlsson and say, now you could say Jacob Vrana, if given an opportunity, could be a 25 to 30 goal scorer because we think so, but he might not. You know, we still don't have proof. He's playing the game really well. He's not scoring goals right now in the playoffs. So credit them, credit each of those players for taking their game to the next level. And I think it's just what happened in Vegas right before the season galvanized the team and brought them all together and had the fan base kind of buy into this could be larger than our collective group. They got a really good coach. Yeah, I mean, you're right again in the premise that this is the best expansion team ever. But come on, no one would have picked them to get through Nashville or Winnipeg.
I didn't pick them to do that either. I'm not saying that.
Right. Right. So it's a very talented team that plays the game that fits their style. I mean, credit to their coach, too, that he's like, we've got a bunch of young, fast, hungry, determined guys. I'm going to let them loose. I'm going to let all four of them just go, you know, 200 feet of pressure. And, you know, they're really good. I said that yesterday. This isn't just a fairy tale story that's going to end up in a Hollywood script. That's a really good hockey team. I don't know if it's the best hockey team collectively in the league, but that is a really good hockey team.
Rob, we always appreciate the time. And if you're out and about and you say, pass me the salt and pepper, don't be surprised when a handsome, smiling Rob Carlin walks into the room with a great head of hair. We appreciate the time, buddy.
Anytime, guys.
Thanks, Rob. See you, dude. Take care. There's Rob Carlin of NBC Sports Washington. His co-host, pre and post, Alan May, is going to be in studio with us from 12:30 to 2 today to break down the Caps. And during that time, the general manager of the team, Brian McClellan, will be live on our listener line so that we can discuss with him how he built this roster.
Yeah, man.
And how he decided to go in a completely different direction this offseason that worked.
Deserves so much credit.
Beautifully. You're listening to The Fan. Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. Welcome back. Thanks much for making the show part of your day. It's May 25th. The Caps are still playing. The Nats back in action tonight. They are in Miami to take on the Marlins. Tonight's Max Scherzer night, by the way.
There we
go. This is the part of the schedule, by the way, where I would really like to see the Nats put a little hay in the barn, as I like to say.
Be very nice.
They have gotten through a pretty rigorous portion of their schedule here recently. The rains helped them to do that, so they're still going to have to make up some games against the Yankees. They'd have the doubleheader against the Dodgers as they got swept. But if you look at their upcoming schedule right now, it's the first time, maybe all season, where they've played this many consecutive games against teams that I would consider to be clubs they should beat. They played the Padres in three straight. They won that series. They took 2 out of 3, which is the goal. Would have loved for them to have pulled off a sweep of San Diego. Wasn't in the cards yet. A sixth starter basically making a start who pitched pretty well, but only scored one run.
They just didn't hit, yeah.
You had the day off yesterday. So now you've got 3 against the Marlins. 3 against the Orioles, 6 straight against bad teams to cap what is a 9-game stretch against 3 of the worst teams in baseball.
And then the Braves come to town, who are pretty good. They're rolling along.
But if you can get to, I'd say 6-3 should be the goal, but maybe 7-2 would be great.
It'd be very nice.
Now, that would also mean that you go 5-1 the rest of the way. But if they can go even 4-2 the rest of the way, I think they'll have accomplished their goal. You try to split a couple of these series. The Orioles have lost twice as many games as they've won. The Marlins are 19-30 last place in your division.
But they haven't been grossly terrible.
They're not as awful as I thought they would be.
Yeah.
They've actually won their last couple of games. They have the longest winning streak in the division. But the Nats come into play tonight, tied with the Mets for third, 2.5 back of the Phillies, 3 back of the Braves. I would just like to see. I think what's going to determine whether or not they can win the division handily, you know, be a handful of games better than these other teams, can you get fat on the Marlins? Can you beat bad clubs? And then obviously head-to-head, as you mentioned, the last day in May into June, they're in Atlanta next weekend. But this is the part of the schedule. You got the Giants coming up. You got the Rays coming up. You got two series with the Orioles. It's a lot of bad teams, and then the Braves and the Phillies are ahead of you in the East.
Got to scratch a couple runs across. The starting pitching has been unbelievable, continues to be. It's the best in the National League. It's second only to Houston, and they're setting records down there with that starting rotation.
How are they doing it?
Garrett Cole, you know, according to some people, may be cheating his butt off, and no one wants to talk about it. I have no idea. I just know that he's been great.
Explain what you mean.
Well, what's the guy's name? The crazy guy pitches for the Cleveland Indians?
Trevor Bauer.
Trevor Bauer, thank you. Accused him of this. But apparently foreign substances maybe on the ball. His spin rate has increased dramatically, Garrett Cole's has. And there was some implication that he may be putting something on the ball. And a lot of people are doing it.
Striking a lot of guys out.
A lot of people are doing it, so nobody wants to call anybody out, if that makes any sense. It's one of these behind-the-scenes Major League Baseball things where no manager wants to go out there and say he's got something on the ball because he knows 5 of his guys do, too.
It's funny who the name is, I'm going to tell you. But I was watching a game. This is actually a funny story. So I was watching a game 2 years ago now, I guess it was, Phillies-Nats, and there was a pitcher who was very clearly wiping his arm every time he pitched. That, that pitcher was Jeremy Hellickson, by the way.
Oh, yes.
And so Hellickson was having a really good year with the Phillies. He shaves his arms, and a lot of pitchers do that.
Remember David Wells was his move.
I would say more pitchers than don't. If you're ever in the Nats clubhouse, just look around. Part of it is that it's like a optics thing. They like how it looks on their arms. I don't know what the other practical use for your shaved arms is. But anyway, Hellickson, before every single pitch in this particular start, and I don't know how often he was doing it with the Phillies, he would take his right pitching hand and he would wipe it basically from where you would have your watch on your left wrist all the way up toward your elbow on the outside of his arm.
Mm-hmm.
Why are, unless it's just this tick or something, but you're taking your fingertips as if you're working behind the counter at a UPS store, like, and or like a bagger at a grocery store, and you're like putting your fingertips in a little water or something. He would wipe it across his arm over and over. And I'm tweeting about this, and I'm going nuts. So I texted FP Santangelo, and I'm like, dude, are you seeing this? And he was basically like, oh, yeah, a lot of guys do it. You know, people don't really call attention to it. And so I texted a couple of guys on the team that night, and I'm like, hey, did you see what Hellickson was doing? And they're like, dude, if you got upset every time someone was wiping something that's on them, he's like, no one's ever going to call anyone out because everyone does it. It's the same reason that managers very rarely have a guy's glove checked.
Yep.
When they have a guy's glove checked, the other team is outraged because the point is, are you kidding me?
Yeah, it's got to be really
bad. You're doing it too,
remember,
stupid.
Remember, Davey Johnson and Joe Maddon, the whole weird wuss thing, it started with that. It started with Davey Johnson finally being like, this is just too absurd.
But
we can't deal with it.
It's the equivalent almost of if you were to go tell a cop, basically, that someone's speeding or something.
Yeah, it's like the...
And
it's
someone
like
goes,
the...
really? You didn't drive 67 in a 55 to get here, stupid?
Yeah, it's like the thanks lady that Tommy loves to play when she pulls the cop over the citizen's arrest.
Right. But my point is, who knows if Hellickson, and again, I have no idea what he was doing. He could have been...
Thanks.
Matt Albers does a thing where he takes off his hat and like wipes his brow before every pitch. It could just be muscle memory that you've been doing it for 30 years and have nothing to do with anything.
It's not as bad as Miguel Pineda just literally kicking his neck in pine tar.
Right. Maybe you're just wiping sweat. Perfectly legal. Yeah. I don't know.
Just a little bit of moisture on it. But anyway, that was one of those funny Twitter back and forth that was out there.
Trevor Bauer violating the pitching code, though, by trying to throw that storyline out there into the public.
Got called out by a couple folks for doing so. But anyway.
That's a weird line, too, Danny. Like, is that cheating or not? You know, if it's one of those things that everyone does... Like, oh, if it's a certain temperature out and it's cold, then you're allowed to have a little pine tar. You're allowed to have something. Like, how do you define? It's the same as when we say, what about blaring music in an NFL stadium or blaring
artificial
music
noise,
during the play?
Whatever,
The term cheating is thrown around a lot. Putting too much or too little air in a football. There's just such a big gray area.
Yeah, it's a huge area, by the way. It's a chasm. But just sort of as a quick side back to the point, the Nationals starting pitching has been remarkable. I don't know if they're cheating or not. I just know that they've been remarkably good. We probably don't need to. We have that kind of stuff. Eight of the last 11 games, they've scored 3 runs or less. That's kind of been the story here. They're starting pitching, and to a degree, their bullpen has actually kept them from having kind of a schneid. They've got to find a way to scratch a few runs here in this stretch. They do that, they'll get to that stretch like you're talking about, a 4-2, 5-1 little thing, set up a nice date with the Bravos.
800-636-1067 is the number on Grant and Danny. We're going to be talking all caps back half of the show. An hour from now, Alan May's in studio with us, and he'll join us from 12:30 to 2. We'll also have the general manager of the team, Brian McClellan, on the phone today. Let's look ahead to tonight. LeBron James in Cleveland against the Boston Celtics. Game 6. Is LeBron James going to be eliminated and not playing in a final? I didn't even know that was possible in the NBA.
Yeah, what do the rules say?
Which team's in bigger trouble, the Cavs or the Warriors, both down 3-2 in their best of sevens? Next on Grant and Danny.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Fun segment called Winning Off the Field, where basically you tell us something small about your day. It's a teeny tiny mini moral victory that doesn't really affect the grand scheme of things in your life. You found a dollar in your pocket when you put your shorts on. Maybe you found a Starburst when you opened up a compartment in your car. You popped it into your mouth. Somebody left a parking spot right when you were pulling in. You got the pick of the litter. Those are off-the-field wins. We will tally them up with you at 11:45 to see how you guys are. Hashtag blessed today.
There you go.
On Grant and Danny. We've got ourselves an opportunity to look ahead to Game 6 tonight. Celtics-Cavs. The NBA's postseason was very much predictable early on. A lot of heat on basketball because you get to the Final Four, and it's the Final Four everyone kind of thought would be here. But what about if this thing got turned on its head and Boston played Houston? Golden State and Cleveland got left on the cutting room floor after having matched up in the last three finals. Tonight, the Celtics are a win away from advancing, dethroning LeBron James in the Eastern Conference. They'll have done so, maybe most amazingly, without Kyrie Irving and Gordon Hayward.
It's incredible.
Danny, if I'd have told you start of the year Boston would be up 3-2 on Cleveland, you'd say, well, those two teams should be in the conference final, and five games through, it should be very competitive. So that's kind of weird, but that's a good story. Kyrie taking care of LeBron, I like that.
And Gordon Hayward being the best player on the court.
Without those two guys to do this?
And a great bench with some of their own homegrown talent like Terry Rozier and Jaylen Brown. And wait, what? They don't have either of their two best players? Wow, dude. Again, Brad Stevens is a genius. The Celtics organization, if you can't just get LeBron or can't get, you know, the Hamptons 5 to lure Kevin Durant out west, this is what you have to do. Exactly what the Boston Celtics have done. It's the opposite of what the Wizards have done, by the way. Just keep that in mind. Draft, develop your own core guys. Develop your guys. Jason Tatum, stud. He's awesome. But it's Jaylen Brown. It's Terry Rozier. It's Marcus Smart. It's these dudes that have been in the organization. Player development. What a novel concept. Guys get better under Danny Ainge, Brad Stevens, and company. They haven't won in this series on the road. I don't think they will tonight either. LeBron and the LeBronettes at home will be more comfortable. The Kyle Korvers, the J.R. Smiths, the Tristan Thompsons, etc. I think they'll be better. I think Cleveland wins tonight. Boston has been incredible at home. Incredible at home. A, people go nuts up there, rightfully so. There's a lot of swagger because all they do is win, DJ Khaled style. But B, it's those guys that I just mentioned. Al Horford is a demon, especially at home. He's a matchup nightmare for Cleveland. They have no answer for what he provides. Jaylen Brown has been sensational, but these guys are so much more comfortable at home for whatever reason that I think this team of role players can absolutely dethrone LeBron James. I never would have thought that at the start of the series.
I wouldn't have either. This looks like it's the perfect mixture, though, because without Kyrie Irving dominating possession of the basketball.
The ball moves, man.
It's the old Wizard Sands Wall, everybody's eating thing, where they've got five scorers between a dozen and 18 points. They've got four guys who average within 2 points of one another for the team lead. Jason Tatum in 17 playoff games averages 18.4 per. Jaylen Brown missed one of their playoff games, but averages about 18 per. Terry Rozier is right at 17 a night, and Al Horford in the playoffs is at 16. Marcus Morris, who gives him a half dozen rebounds, sometimes off the bench, sometimes as a starter, 17 games into the playoffs is averaging about 13 points per contest and shooting almost 40% from the floor. But what's been amazing is Tatum gets to the rim, shoots a high percentage. Jaylen Brown shooting almost 50%. Al Horford, Terry Rozier, Marcus Morris. If you look at how they're shooting the basketball, really outside of a guy like Marcus Smart, they're just knocking down open jumpers.
Because, and this again, this is a Stevens thing. It's like a good offensive coordinator where he goes, you may have 10 really good defenders, but you're 11th, you've got to compensate for. And I'm always going to find where you're compensating. Cleveland can switch a bunch of stuff. They can go big with Tristan Thompson. It means there's going to be an advantage. There's going to be an open look because Cleveland can't just guard Boston. They can't really guard anybody. Straight up 5-on-5. They've got to cheat somehow to take something away. And they are always finding where that pressure valve is. It's an open look for Tatum or Brown or Rozier or Horford if you cheat on some of the pick-and-roll stuff that they do. I'm telling you, Brad Stevens is a genius. He is playing a different – he's playing like three-dimensional chess, VR style, where everyone else is like, I can make the red one go over the black one on my checkerboard. Not even close.
Other side, you've got LeBron James, Batman, Kevin Love, who's kind of a poor man's Robin.
He's like just Rob with a cape on.
Right. He is like – remember the movie Team Kick-Ass where there were a couple of kids that wore capes and stuff and ran around?
Yeah.
He's like one of them helping Batman out. Kyle Korver shoots some threes, but basically it's James Love and some misfits, essentially. Curious, Danny, well, first let's do this. What do you think LeBron's averaging points, boards, and assists in this postseason?
Postseason, I think he's averaging like 32 a game, 8 boards, I'd say 10 assists.
Right about that. He's at 33+.
Yep.
9 rebounds, 9 assists.
Mm.
He is a board and a dime away from a triple-double average through 16 playoff games at this point.
He's so good.
And Kevin Love, by the way, gets no credit. Everyone loves to bash the Cavaliers that aren't named LeBron James.
Right.
Kevin Love's averaging 15 and 10 for them. He has been so important to any chance that they've had, but he needs to be because they don't have anybody else.
Yeah, it's not like they're running a ton of plays for him. It's not like he's getting his 25 looks like he got in Minnesota.
Stand around, watch LeBron do whatever LeBron wants to do, and hope that the ball comes out at some
point. And rightfully so, by the way. Grab your boards, throw outlet passes. But, yeah, it's interesting, dude. I just thought – I didn't think Boston would be able to truly match when they were trading buckets. You know, just Boston, I think, is still off a little bit offensively challenged when all things are equal, just because they don't have that. All right, the shot clock, there's 7 seconds left. The ball's in whose hands? Who's getting you a bucket? The superstar thing, right? Like, you know who it is for Cleveland. You know who it is for Golden State. You know who it is for Houston. Boston doesn't really have that, but they haven't needed it.
My thing on the Cavs was I felt like they would roll the Celtics if they were hitting threes. And more often
the games
than
that
not,
they have. Yeah,
in
right.
This series, they haven't been able to do that when they've lost.
They've hit them at home, but not in Boston.
Korver's hit almost half of the threes he's attempted. Smith's hit about 38%. Love's hit about 35%. But Jeff Green, George Hill, Jordan Clarkson, the rest of that group, they haven't been able to.
They were 9 for 34 in game number 5, and surprise, they lost.
The spread in this game is Cleveland being favored by 6.5. Minus 6.5 for Cleveland is a little bit bigger than I would have thought.
It's a wee bit high.
Because Boston has just been great. But as you pointed out eloquently, when they go on the road.
Not the same team.
They might as well be an 8 seed. You know, they're a mess when they get on the road.
They're competitive and they're doing their stuff. But it just doesn't seem to have the same effect, if that makes any sense. It's hard to quantify.
I don't get why the NBA home away advantage where role players just apparently get into the fetal position when they're not in their comfort of their home.
It's weird, right?
Such a big deal compared to, you look at the NHL in these playoffs, more road wins than home wins. The road teams are over 500 in the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs.
Yeah, and this is the lowest winning percentage of home teams since a couple decades ago or something like that, a stat I saw. It's been insane.
Props to a guy named Zach who just tweeted us, at Grant H. Paulson for me, at Funny Danny. For Danny, and he says, did you guys know a DC sports team is going to play for a championship? He's got a picture of the Capitals Conference Champions gear laid out on his bed
that
he's already purchased.
I had heard that.
Cannot see enough of those pictures, Zach, so we appreciate
that. Boy, Zach.
He's Danny. I'm Grant. This is The Fan. We will win off the field at 11:45. At noon, your Beltway Blitz on the Caps and the Nationals, who are in Miami to start a series tonight, which is exciting. Coming up in the 12 o'clock hour, we'll be joined in studio by longtime Capital and Caps analyst Alan May and the general manager of the Eastern Conference champion Caps, Brian McClellan, on this radio program. You're listening to The Fan. Grant and Danny, welcome back. 106.7 The Fan. It is time to figure out how you are winning off the field. You know about this segment. We
you
do this one
do.
For old Goose Allen, who once sat at Redskins Park in a press conference and said these words.
You know, from...
Nope, not
no,
that.
Different.
That's Troy Aikman
different.
Not being able to speak English. Bruce Allen once sat at Redskins Park and said these words.
We're winning off the field, but we got to start winning on the field.
His point was, the Redskins aren't any good, but it's okay because it's we do a lot of good work in the community.
Winning off the field.
Thank you, Bruce.
That's an off-field win, Bruce. So we ask you, how are you winning off the field?
I saw Solo, a Star
Wars.
No, Danny Rouillet saw this, sir. Solo, a Star Wars story last night. A little early screening, thanks to a pal for hooking up the ticket. Had to drive into the Brendan Dar, Greater Dar area of Rockville, Rock Vegas, to see the movie last night.
That's
which
a
was
tough sell.
Treacherous. Grant definitely knows more Star Wars than I do. It's not true, Danny.
Good point.
Arduous journey to get to Rock Vegas.
Why didn't I get to see the movie last night?
Well, it's for Star Wars fans only.
But you said I know more about Star Wars than you.
Grant definitely knows more Star Wars than I do. Star Wars than I do. It is solid. It is fun. I really enjoy myself. Therefore, I am.
Winning off the field.
I got a pretty cool gift yesterday. My sister knows I love red meat as a warm-blooded American, that I enjoy steak and things of the like.
Hamburger!
That's a red meat example. Yeah.
I got home yesterday and I had what is called a butcher box. waiting for me. This is thoughtfully sourced meat delivered directly to your door. For my birthday, she sent me a nice shipment of some steaks and some different types of meat.
Yeah.
From ButcherBox.
How about that?
Apparently, you choose your box, they deliver it to your doorstep, and you cook it and you eat it, and it's delicious.
I had a weird
winning off the field.
Sorry, Bruce. I had a weird flash. Is your sister a vegetarian? Did that happen?
No.
Where am I getting that from?
Nicole is not a vegetarian. I think what you're referring to is that I was upset that she went with the vegetarian option at my wedding. That was something that I did mention on the air before.
Yeah, there's some. I had all of a sudden you mentioned her and like meat, and then I went, wait a minute, there's some vegetarian lightning strike in my head.
She eats way less meat than I do, but that's probably just a healthy way to live.
Sure.
You're not supposed to eat as much red meat as I do, I don't think. She is not a vegetarian, though. She'll eat like burgers and different things, chicken, and fish, and all kinds of
good
stuff.
Good food, right.
But she does not eat as much red meat. She's rare. Like, if we're going to a steakhouse, she might get a steak, but I'll bet you she might go off the grid a little bit. So you're not completely wrong in thinking she's weird about meat, but she's not a vegetarian.
But she chose the vegetarian option at your for your wedding?
Not sure, which, by the way, we had the biggest steaks ever at our wedding.
Yeah, what are people doing? It was a really good steak.
It was a great steak.
I had a nice time.
Let's go to the phones. How are you winning off the field? These are teeny tiny mini moral victories. 800-636-1067. Weird deal here, and this might be too much money. Tommy, you'll have to be the judge on this is on or off the field. I don't know why, but my brother came over this morning, dropped off his dog because he's going to Miami to see the Nats play this weekend. So when he came over, I'm upstairs getting ready, and he goes, hey, there's $20 lodged into your front door. Who left you $20? And I said, I have no idea.
Whoa.
To this moment, I asked my wife. She has no idea why anyone would have put $20 in our door. Someone apparently just came by and shoved $20 in our door.
Do you think it was the neighbor? You know the guy
crazy
I'm talking
neighbor?
About?
Yeah. But he doesn't owe me money.
But maybe this is like he's
now paying for friendship?
Or no, he's paying for something and then he's going to like call in a favor that's way too obscure and like difficult.
Running off the field?
Yo, that's off field, Tom.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we decided that $700 was the line of on-field, off-field wins. So it's way under 700, so it's an off the field. This is my theory on it.
Okay.
I think because you're not as disheveled as drab t-shirt is,
right.
But you kind of are a human tornado sometimes.
Okay.
I'm thinking you might have had a loose 20 in your pocket, and when you went to pull your keys out, might have come flying out.
No. This was apparently shoved into my door, like as if someone opened the... So we have two doors. We have the door that actually opens and then like the glass screen door.
Screen door, yeah.
This was like the screen door was open and it was shoved into it. Like someone had left us $20.
Maybe someone saw it on the ground and said, that's got to be Grant's.
The weirdest reverse burglar of all time.
It's a very strange
What a caper.
I forgot to do more research on this because it was all I cared about early this morning and I haven't thought about it since. So I need to start doing some reconnaissance. Let's go to Sam in Fairfax. Hey, Sam.
Hey, Sam.
Hey, fellas, honored to kick off the segment with the call, but I am an avid disc golf player, called into the Chad Dukes versus the World show yesterday during his Has Landfill Done It in the Last 10 Years bit, got the question right, and scored a free registration for the tournament. So therefore, I am.
Winning off the field.
Go play some disc golf with Dukes. I like that. He's got a big event coming up, and so do we, by the way. So if you want to play disc golf, you should definitely check that out at thefandc.com. But remember, we're selling our Chalk Talk tickets, and there aren't that many remaining. So if you're a big Nats fan, we've got Sean Doolittle on stage at the DC Improv June 6th at 7 p.m. So there's all kinds of options for you if you want to interact with shows here at 106.7 The Fan. Seth Jessup, how are you?
Hey, guys.
Hey, Bob.
So... after the second game of the first round of the playoffs, I stopped watching the games and instead have been listening on the Fan. And since then, the Caps are 12-5. So I am
winning off the field.
12-5.
I think we can
John Walton
clearly say
that's
a direct correlation there, right? I mean, he's causing this to happen.
You know
how I
feel.
You want to do it again?
Absolutely.
Curses don't exist. Jinxes don't exist. Tomas Satoransky is in Burke, or Thomas, maybe. I don't know. What's up? Is it Thomas or Tomas?
Tomas. How you guys doing today?
What's
up, dude?
Tomas. Vokun.
Yeah, something like that.
Tell me what. Wingy.
I am 4.5 hours into a car ride in North Carolina from a buddy Andrew's wedding, and my 10-month-old child has not woken up once. So, therefore, I am...
Winning off
That's
the field.
Incredible.
Winning on the field.
Unbelievable.
I've never had to travel with a baby, but I'd imagine it's a lot like traveling with a dog, which is excruciating if the dog won't stop making noise.
It pummels that because you have to do something about it. If there's noise, it means you have to stop, you have to pull over, it's probably a change, you've got to feed, and then something else gets disrupted, and it's automatically hot
Surprise.
No matter what. Yeah, exactly, Michael Phillips, Richmond Times Dispatch. It's basically, you ever see those movies where you have like, don't move, there's nitroglycerin, you can't jostle it. It's like that for 4.5 hours. You're basically walking a tightrope with a live, active, unstable force.
I like seeing all the videos of the parents with babies nearby silently celebrating the Capitals advancing to the Stanley Cup.
That's what you're all doing now in terms of like celebration videos? Yeah.
And it's not quite going to replace the gender reveal. I still watch about 30 minutes worth of gender reveal videos per day. Those are my favorite right now. By the way, development here. We've got an update on the $20 in my door saga.
Oh.
My neighbor, one of the probably the only guy I'm buddies with that I live in the cul-de-sac with.
This is not that guy. It's a different person.
So this is a guy, okay. You know, I'll let him borrow the lawnmower. He'll take care of something for me. They came and walked the dog, whatever.
Yeah.
I'm thinking maybe for some reason he left $20 for something. He just told me he had nothing to do with it. He is not involved in this $20 situation.
So this is like one of those, when a crime is committed, they bring in a person that didn't commit the crime for elimination prints.
Yeah, he was a person of interest.
You've eliminated one person.
And that was not a suspect, but it was probably my only person of interest. So
you got no leads.
If this is a 48-hour time crunch here on the first 48 before this thing goes cold, we're on our way to ice cold. We're on our way to this thing's in the freezer next to the ice cream.
I've got 48 hours to find it. Otherwise, it disappears forever.
Grant and Danny on the Fan. Let's go blitzing next. Chris Russell on the Caps. Jorge Castillo on the Nats. And at 12:18, remember, Alan May joining us next hour in studio. Ratings were massive for the Capitals in town. Business is a booming. How did this group get to the Cup not as good as so many that didn't before it?
Memorial
Day. And a good day to you, sir.
Thank you very much. Is he still right? No, he's very sick. Memorial Day savings in full swing at Ted Britt Ford. Buy a new 2018 Ford Explorer Edge, Escape, and Flex. 0% APR for 72 months plus $1,000 cash. Memorial Day bonus cash. Is this your homework, Larry? Is this your homework, Larry? Purchase a new
No, God!
Why? You're upset at savings, Michael Scott Paper Company?
No, God, please, no!
Well,
no!
I'm telling you, the savings are too high, probably even for you.
No!
New 2018 Ford Fiesta, Focus, Fusion, 0% APR for 72 months, but there's more. New Ford C-Max, 2018 C-Max, 0% APR for 72 months, plus $2,250. That's $2,250 bonus cash. New Ford Taurus, 0% APR, 72 months, plus $2,500 bonus cash. New 2018 F-150 Mustang EcoSport, 0% APR for 60 months. This is my favorite one here, F-150, 4x4, Super Crew, XLT, the big baddie. How about $12,000 off the MSRP?
I had a thought, and I've lost it.
Well, let me replace it right now. Military and first responders, active or retired, get $1,000 towards any new 2017 or 2018 Ford.
That's actually
crazy. It is crazy, but you're good enough to do it at Ted Britt Ford. Go see him and tell him, Danny.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.